Well, welcome to the D&K Repos Non-League Show, and we're back after a two-week break. Well, an unfortunate two-week break, I suppose, with everything that's happened in the world. And we're back, and of course, it's show 301 tonight, and we've got a little new feature to come as well later on in the show as well. So it's all good fun. But of course, let's introduce everybody that's with us, and of course, at the top, of course, as usual, with me and my good mate, Mr. Kiepertman. How are you, sir?
Yeah, I'm very good. Thank you, Dave. Yourself?
Yeah, it's been a tough couple of weeks, as you know. We won't go into live on air, but it's been a very, very tough few weeks family-wise. But hopefully, we shall learn to sort of deal with the issues that's coming up in the next couple of weeks as well, and we'll move on from there. But a bit of a nightmare, but we'll work through it. But and of course, joining us as well, we're really lucky to say that from Sheldon FC, of course, down at the bottom here is, of course, Greg, the secretary, and of course, Dave, the manager from Sheldon. And it's great to have you on, guys.
Good to be on.
Yeah, great to be on.
They're not used to being bottom, Dave.
No, mate.
bottom of the country,
but
the table position.
So I mean from non-league, I mean, anything that is you know, before we sort of go into the show, you know, is there anything there at all that you've seen over the last few weeks that's, again, there's a bit of a surprise, and you know, anything that's sort of come along, Keith? I mean, football wise
obviously, Chertsey replacing their manager today or sacking their manager today is a bit of a surprise, Dave, because they've gone through a few since they won the FA Vars from Dave Anderson, obviously a good friend of mine, and obviously a big club. So obviously I wasn't too happy what's going on there. And obviously a couple of other managerial changes, Walthamstow bringing in the lad from Welling Garden City, was a little bit of a shock to me as well. Especially, I think, if I read someone's tweet that I know really well. But that's something else, I won't go into that. but yeah, and a few results in the trophy, in the league as well, I think. Especially the Eastern League, I see a couple at the weekend that surprised me. But otherwise, yeah, it helps. We had the week off because of the Queen's death, and it was only last weekend. So looks for me, it's a little bit short term to be getting rid of managers over only after 5, 6, 7 games. I wouldn't like it myself. So even though I only done 4 months somewhere, but that's something else. We'll move on. And as it goes, over the last 2 weeks, Dave, I've gone and visited both my last two ex-clubs. I watched VCD last week play Sevenoaks in, which I don't know if you've seen my tweet, was mostly one of the best games of football I think I've actually gone and watched without me being involved in it. It was a very, very good end-to-end, two good sides playing on an absolute, well, I don't think there's many better non-league pitches around at the moment than theirs, what Steve's done. And then I went up to Whitstable and watched them play in their new 3G pitch. So the ground looks, the pitch looks lovely. The ground looks a little bit lost a bit, if I'm honest with you, at the moment, because it's an old-fashioned ground. I don't know if anyone else has been there. It's, you know, it's lost a little bit of character at the moment, but I'm sure they'll catch it up with new facilities as it goes. But yeah, and I was lucky enough to be invited to young Abby's 18th birthday there. So happy birthday to her, even though I said it. I think I've got more welcome at the party than I did at the ground, but no shock there. But apart from that, nothing.
And it was a surprise, I think. I mean, Greg and Dave, I mean, are you surprised that this manager's sort of losing their job this sort of early on?
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. I mean, you know, how long we've been into the season? 6 weeks? It just amazes me, really. I mean, obviously, they've done their homework on the manager in the first place just to get him on board. But I don't know how it works. I mean, it's crazy. I mean, I've been in the club for, you know, 23 years. I mean, it's 6 weeks seems ridiculous. But
what do you think clubs look at, though? Do you sit there and think it's like, are they just looking short-term, or are they looking long-term, or do they make the change really quickly because they thinking they're looking long-term and they've got too much catching up to do? Or they, like you said, have they just got no trust in the manager? Do they just think it's got to be instant results?
I think that's what it is. I think instant results, to be honest with you. I mean, you know, to grow anything, it takes time. You know, if you've got belief in a manager, you've got time to produce for you? Because obviously it's about players. You're only as good as the team you're managing at the end of the day. Obviously, if you've got decent players, it's a lot easier to manage. But to get a group of players really together, it takes time, you know, to develop, you know, as a unit. That's the main thing. It's okay, you know, people say throw money at it and the rest of it and bring in individuals. But that's what you get, individuals. You don't get good team ethic. And it takes time to build that up. So, yeah, I'm very surprised that they've made those actions, really.
It's a bit like the Watford effect.
As well, isn't it? The fact that they panic in that sense, you know, if a club set a goal early doors, it certainly puts managers in sort of trouble early on, really.
Do you think clubs now need then maybe to be a bit more strong-willed in their actual, you know, their committee, the director, the chairman? You know, because obviously there's a lot of changes there where money men come in and join the club now, or vice versa, where they may be easily influenced by other people outside maybe the boardroom, and they sit there and maybe listen. Because a lot of clubs I go to, and I know a lot of chairmen, they do listen to a lot of people outside the boardroom, if I'm honest. And maybe giving them some wrong advice, or they sort of, you know, get easily influenced, I think, and maybe need to be a bit stronger with the actual decision they made.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I mean, you know, if you go with a manager, you've got to give him time. Simple as. you know, it's a situation where, you know, if you're forced into making decisions, you know, and they're poor, it's going to be a knock-on effect. Because who's going to bring in the next manager, you know? So the next manager, if they see it's only a short-term post, they're going to treat it like a short-term post. So I think every manager needs at least 12 months to get things sorted out, you know? And obviously the players develop it. The players notice these things, you know? If a club sort of, you know, have a high turnover of managers, that's no good. That's no good for the player. Yeah. So
before you... Good point you just made there about... you know, and I'd speak to you if it's the other way, if someone offered you a job like that when you know that they've just got rid of someone on the short term, because, you know, it's no thing. I lasted 4 months at Whitstable after being 20 odd years at two clubs. And when you sit there, you know, as much as I love the club now, my ethos looking to a new club would be sometimes, well, should I treat this as short term? Should I just go for broke? You know, don't put the club's interest at heart, it's put mine and the players, and just try and do something in the first 6 months. And if it means the club are going to struggle after that, who cares? But, you know, I think that's what managers or experienced managers will do.
Yeah, you're probably right. yeah, I mean, it's a results business, isn't it? You know, at the end of the day. And, you know, if a manager's losing football matches, there's always reasons why. But it's down to the players as well, you know. I mean, it's about recruitment. It's about, there's so much, you know, involved with a football club, just in managing. So coaching, obviously, recruitment is vital, because obviously every club needs that specialist side of it. It's something which we're going to be working on, you know, in the near future as well. So, yeah, but every club needs stability. And obviously, you've got to set standards. And, you know, there's a lot of clubs can't afford to go up, you know. And this is my main argument about forcing clubs to go into an area where they can't, they straight away know that they can't afford. So it's no sustainability. That's the problem. And
obviously looking forward, you know, we're going to talk about your club quite a bit, but is that something that's got you the success where you are at the moment? Obviously, you're sitting top of the league with 5 straight wins and only 2 goals conceded. Is that something that you've done, if you had continuity over a while? Or?
Yeah, without doubt. I mean, we've got players who have played for us for 650 matches, you know, being there since they were boys, basically. So we've got that group. Okay. You know? So you've got like 6 players, really, which we base the side on. Week in, week out. So you've got that stability, you know. Obviously, you've got that leadership as well. And that's what you need, you know. It's a partnership between players and managers and coaches, and that's the way forward, you know. And I was a chairman here for 3 months, so I know exactly how it feels when you're a chairman, etc. But you've got to give, you know, managers room to manage. You know, you can't be influenced by certain things. If not, get your recruitment policy sorted out. You know, when you're doing an interview with a manager, make sure you're asking the right questions before you appoint them, you know? Common sense, really.
Well, Dave, I know it's a bit rude of us, but there's another gentleman sitting behind you. Would you like to introduce us to him?
Phil Moody is Phil, and he's head of the youth section.
Sorry.
There you go. Is that better?
That's perfect, yeah. Well, nice to meet you, Phil.
Nice to meet you.
But, I mean, with everything that's been going on, I suppose one thing that I did forget to say at the top of the show, and I apologise for that, of course, is that everybody sends their best regards, and I would assume Sholing will as well, of course, to Steve, who's at the moment going through his, Steve Whitney, going through his issues with cancer at the moment. So Steve, lad that I do a show with for the Summer League, and, at the moment, it's all on hold at the moment until he gets himself a little bit better. We all our best wishes to Mr. Whitney, if he's watching today or gets to listen to it in one way or another, because I was in a little bit of a shock, and I think so was everybody else when we heard the news from him a few weeks back that he's suffering with that awful disease. So get well soon, my friend. But yeah, I mean,
you can't take your health for granted, can you?
Sorry?
I said you can't take your health for granted.
No, definitely not. Definitely not. I mean, the extra of the whole thing for me, I mean, is we just said about, clubs moving and that, losing their managers and that. And of course, whenever I sort of get into a discussion, I always call it like the Watford effect, because it seems to be you keep them for 8 weeks and get rid of them.
Yeah, that's right.
But I mean, we've sort of Sholing. I mean, tell us a little bit about the club. Tell us a little bit, other clubs sort of around, and because there's going to be quite a few people that watching the show may not know too much about your club and where you're situated. So I mean, let us know a little bit about the club.
Well, we're situated, quite rightly, as you said, down the bottom, but we're down the bottom of the country, in the south of England. We're about 4 miles away from Southampton Football Club. So a straight road into Southampton Football Club to us. We're right on the edge of the motorway, so we're really easy to get to. And this gentleman alongside me has developed the club over the last 22 years, really, from two open field, basically, was what we had. In my refereeing days, Dave, when I used to come in and referee, but now it's a nice stadium to come to, and the love of the place just keeps you here, and that's why we've got the longevity of probably all the players that stay here, because once they come here, they don't like leaving the club.
Mm. Do you think that's do you think, Keith, that's a good thing when you first go into a club? That you almost feel like that you're part of that family when you walk into a club. I mean, I know you had it yourself with Thamesmead and that. But, I mean, is it a situation like that for people, do you think?
Well, it helps, doesn't it? Because obviously it takes a little bit of pressure. I think most managers, when they first walk into a club, the first thing they want to do is obviously, feel that it's comfortable around them, and it's a place they want to go regularly, and they want to get on with everyone. The first thing they don't want is any conflict. They want to make friends. The good thing, obviously, about the lads, when you straight away you're saying that you've had players that have played 650 games for you, that's huge as well. It's just, the continuity, the togetherness. It's like if players are being there for so long, something's right. It'd be interesting. We'll talk to Phil about the youth academy, because that's something quite big with me for the club. It is something, Dave, that I think if you see that when you walk in, you get that natural feeling straight away. Obviously, when you're going in as a manager, there's normally a reason why you're going. But if the club's got the good thing at heart, then I think you get that warm feeling.
Yeah, without doubt. It is a family feeling. It's the togetherness, that's a very important word. I mean, like I say, we had five players out on Saturday when we played Wimborne, but we had a chat before the game, and everybody's as important as each other, And that togetherness was really evident on the park on Saturday. We really put a good shift in. Imagine about being honesty, about the honest side of it. You've got to be honest with your players, and we've got a good pathway through to the first team with the youth development, obviously. Phil's coming, is head of youth development. So, the future looks pretty rosy for us, but it takes planning. Non-league, it's about volunteers as well. I mean, without the volunteers, most of us wouldn't even survive. And that's what I go to the players, So, really, the least... least I expect is a work rate, you know. That's non-negotiable. You've got to work hard if you want to play for Shoreham Football Club. And obviously, we've got a reputation down this part of the world. Obviously, we won the Vars, and since we've won the Vars, everybody wants to beat us, even now, you know. But it's just something that have a one-on-one with players as soon as they find them, and just tell them really what to expect of them. You know, you live and die for the badge, really.
Yeah. I mean, like, why is in the club? I mean, what sort of teams have you got inside the club? I mean, is there sort of like, you know, under 23s, under 18s, ladies, and, you know, you can see you've got a youth set up there, and, you know, is that girls as well?
Yeah, what I do, Dave, is just send you over to
Phil.
Yeah, so he'd be able to order you.
So basically, our end, one of the reasons I got brought in is to firstly enhance the teams we have, to try and develop them further, give them more opportunities, support the coaches, but also then grow what we do in the community for everyone else. So when I first came in, we'd lost our girls and ladies set up. Since that a year ago, we've now got two girls centres running. We have two teams at every age group, from under sevens up to under 16s, two under 18s and under 23s, the first team. We have JPL football teams. We've got two of them at under 30s and 14s. We've got, we're hopefully going to open a walk-in football centre to make a team out of that as well. We want to try and create a team for anyone that wants to be part of the team, whether that's a kickabout with people once a week, whether that's get matches on a weekend. We just want to have the opportunity to go out in the community and say, if you want to play football, we will have something for you as a football club.
And is that a case that with the youth as well, Dave, and, you know, do you actually sort of go and have a look at some of the older age groups as well to see what's coming through, and how closely do you guys work together, to say, look, you know, Dave, this lad's coming through, we think he's going to be pretty good, you know, we're going to keep an eye on him. Is there that sort of conversation between you guys to actually bring them through?
Yeah, we're constantly talking. I mean, Phil comes along with first team matches as well, and he does the coaching and pre-match warm-ups, etc. So he knows really what we're looking for. That communication has got to be vitally important for any club. And also, you know, I go to a few youth teams as well, if somebody can recommend it. But some of the pathway to the first team, even to professional football, is really, really important. And I've got a young lad called Joe Adams, who's just recently gone to Wigan. And that's what we're about, you know, getting them players in. Obviously, we want to win things, but we're never standing in anybody's way, you know. He was on actual contract with us, and basically we tore the contract up, so it made the move nice and easy for him. And that's what we're about, you know. That's what Shoreham Football Club stands for, basically.
To be fair, we also have an education centre here, so kids that, when they leave school, we know some kids struggle in a college environment. We have a post-16 education program, which is training every day. And from that, last year, we had two lads sign first team forms. We saw something in them, given an opportunity. One's now consistently in first team squads most weeks. And another one's training with us and also out on loan at other clubs. So we want to give the opportunity to anyone that wants to take an opportunity. We want to keep it open for everyone, have that pathway. Like Dave said, there's lads at 12, 13, 14 years old that we genuinely think will be here when they're 18, 19, 20, 30 years old, still playing at the football club, because they can see an opportunity to stay at the club for a number of years.
And have you got players at the moment in the first team that have come through that, you know, come through the youth? Because I always think to yourself, and I don't know, Keith, you agree, if you've got players that have come through the system at your club and they see them in the first team, you know, and you've got loads of maybe other sort of youth setups around the area as well, all of a sudden they're looking at that game, well, look at Fred there, or look at Peter there. He started off under sevens. He's now playing in the first team in the Southern League, and et cetera, et cetera. And if you've got that sort of link, I think that's a bit of a pull for others, to, especially maybe even parents, to say, well, look, let's take him down to Shoreham, because there's a chance of them getting into the shop window when they get a little bit older.
Definitely. We actually had a couple of new students to our education programme this year that were picking between us and other clubs who do similar programmes. And after seeing a couple of lads last year progress to the first team, and we're having conversations with them, we do highly regard them as individuals, technical ability, as well as people, as lads. And since then, they've already made appearances to under 23, so that they can see that there's a trust in them. It's not just we're giving them a dream and just throwing it away. It's genuinely, we've got the hope and belief that they're going to be another one of those individuals that come from youth setup. I think one lad who played for the 23s the other day has been here since he's 7 years old. So there is the opportunity if they want to take it.
I mean, I know one of the clubs local to us in Paul Housie at Ware, he's just signed a 16-year-old. I think 16, 17-year-old, what it was for the first team. When I was speaking to him, he just said, we saw how good he was, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and wanted to get him involved as soon as we possibly could. So, you know, and he's sort of slowly but surely sort of like getting him into, he's not whacking him in every single week because, he's at the same level as himself in the top of the Central League, but he's not throwing him in every single game, but he's actually sort of bringing him in for, 10 minutes, maybe 1 week, so for another, and sort of, bringing him in slowly. But it's the way to go, though, isn't it? I would have thought.
It's gradual involvement, so I'd say to the lads, it's about if they can get 15, 20 minutes here and there. I mean, in the Southern League, it's a very physical league. So obviously you have got to take care of and plan ahead really when you come up to but it's also, I've found in kids coming through now, they're not really mentally that strong as well. Compared to what they used to be probably 15 years ago now. That's probably for various reasons, I don't know. But, they've got to hit the ground running. That's what I say to them. We don't give them any sort of, special way we treat them, so to speak, They're thrown in the deep end. We help them, but they've got to progress themselves. They've got to want it bad enough to do, and that's the main thing.
So, I mean, your aim at the beginning of the season, Dave, and from the chairman and everything else and from the club, I mean, what was the aim, for the club? Is it automatic promotion? Is it playoffs? Or are you actually a lot higher up than what you expected at this time of the season? I mean, what was the sort of goal for you guys?
Yeah, it's fine margins, isn't it? I mean, last year, I think we missed out. I think we were in seventh spot. And missed out, but it was 6 points in the playoff. But we had horrendous injuries and, unavailability, which really hit us at a bad time. And, you don't win leagues in August, but, you set the standards. And obviously, you do need a big squad. We're lucky enough to have a big squad. Last year, you turn around, if there was a problem during the game, you turn around to the bench and there's no game changes. Well, this year there is. But that comes at a cost because obviously you've got, we've only got a smallish budget, not a real small one, but a smallish one for this level. So really, we've got to work within that. But it's no point having like £600-700 worth of talent watching football each week. So, yeah, management is quite an art, really. I mean, I'm learning things every week myself. I've been in the game a long time, so it's good. But it's something which I think, we're setting standards. We're pulling in local players, which is really good. Likes of Totten, et cetera. Don't want to go too much about Totten, but they tend to go out further afield. But we're more of a local community club, and it's nice to sort of involve local players into the system. And that's what we try and do.
If you get success into the club as well, Dave, you'd like to think off the field that will attract more people coming through the gate. And that is really, really important to the club that you get the local community to buy into the club. And you've got to do different things, which we are doing now at the club, because the guys have agreed that the club now works basically 7 days a week now.
Yeah. And I mean, you mentioned Tottenham. Are they your local rivals?
Yeah, you could say that. Yeah,
East and West. Yeah,
we're bitter rivals, to be honest with you. I mean, their stadium is really more or less sort of financed by Northampton Football Club, who use their women's team. So obviously, Pitt Works and the rest of it is second to none. It's brilliant over there. Great facilities. I'm jealous as hell, but I'm not really jealous about on the way from. So yeah, I mean we're just down and keep working hard. It's like in any club. At one stage we were better on the field than what we were off, but now it's caught up. Now it's more even, which is really important because obviously every move forward needs to be planned. It's not just willy-nilly. It's got to be planned. So planned expansion for the next couple of years. And your question really is, do we want a promotion this year? Yeah, we're desperate to get promotion. It's really vital. I think for this club, we need to get out of this league, basically.
Is that because you want to travel down to Truro and away down a Tuesday night?
If you actually look at the map of the teams that are in it, Dave, for us to get promotion, we'd actually travel less.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah, we miss our Tuesday night down in Plymouth.
Yeah, exactly. We got to have a Stark in Exmouth thing, you know. Bishop Cleeve tomorrow night, for instance, as well. So,
how far is Bishop's Cleeve tomorrow night?
About 2.5 hours, you know. Wow. You're getting players, you know, because they're all part time, obviously. That's the problem, you know. Sometimes these leagues forget about players, got to, you know, go to work the next morning. We got back from Plymouth Parkway last year. I think it was 4:15 in the morning, yeah. You know. And some of the guys had to go to work at like 6:30. So, you know, yeah. I think every manager, if you ask every manager in every league, you know, it's always about the champions. Maybe sort something out.
I mean, in the league itself, though. I mean, who are the sort of teams that you're expected to be up there and, you know, up the top of the table? Who are the sort of challenges?
Yeah, I mean, Frewtown are always going to be difficult. Tottenham are going to be right up there, obviously. If you look at Wimbledon as well, we just beat, but they're going to be right up there. You know, it's very difficult to look at the league table and pick anybody. I mean. Obviously, we do our research before we sort of play teams, etc. But you know, not many of the staff are changing too many places. So we finished seventh, so we've got it all to do if we want to sort of get natural sort of promotion, really.
Mm. And it looks like a good league. I mean, 5 out of 5, you know, plus 13, and they say some great goals at the weekend. And everybody has seen on Twitter. And if you haven't, you need to get on there and have a look, because one of them was an absolute worldie.
Yes, you know, he'd do that and then miss him 3 inches, you know. So, I mean, he's that sort of player. He knows it as well. He's great. He stretches the defences.
He actually could have had 5 goals on
time. Yeah, he could have had quite a few goals. But we got Lee Ward, who's been away for 2 weeks as well. So it was quite pleasing. It's always good if you're missing players, the players who are not playing, so to speak, then think, you know, something. I've got to be, you know. Got to be my best to stay in the college, you know. So that's what it's about.
What's your average gait?
It's working out probably around about 180 at the moment. It's something which, you know, it disturbs me a little bit, to be honest with you, because the amount of work that everybody puts in at the club, it'd be nice to get those figures at least doubled, you know. I mean, we're only probably a mile away from Sheldon, so to speak, the centre of Sheldon, but that mile was a long mile. You know, so yeah, we want to increase the pace. That's one thing we've got to do. Obviously, the source of income, so we need to look at that as we progress.
I mean, you seem to have played quite a few away games and very few home games so far.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, like I say, we haven't been involved in the league until Saturday for three weeks. So, you know, it's like at a cup draws and things like that. You know, when Chippenham got knocked out 3-0. I think it's a situation where, you know, with the cup games, you're always going to get that, though, aren't you? With home matches, I mean, there's various reasons why we've got that gate of 180 as well, because obviously we can't have facilities and the rest of it, which we need to work on. Every improvement at the club is actually phased in, so you know that's probably phase two long term, you know. But it all costs money, and it's, you know, we've got patient for all the bits and pieces.
I mean, do you play on grass or do you play on the Keith's favourite surface, the 4G?
Yeah, we play on grass. Bishop's Cleeve tomorrow. I'll be 3G. That's a 3G. Yeah. Obviously, it's a normal thing. You get players sort of always say, oh, yeah, you know, ankles, knee, hips. You know, you always get the excuses come out, don't you? But luckily enough, this time around this year, last year we went to Cirencester and... So we got beat 1-0, I think. 1-0, yeah. Late in the game, about 95th minute. And yeah, it takes it out of you. It didn't serve, obviously, but the 3Ds now are a lot better than what they were sort of 10 years ago, you know. And it's the way really forward, because there's so many games called off. And that's the biggest problem at our level. If you get a Saturday game called off, say against, for instance, Plymouth or something like that, you then go and visit the midweek. So that's what makes it doubly tricky, you know. So.
I mean, is it one of those things, though? We've got players that you've got at the club may have been there for a bit of time. Do you ever get to that situation where some of them sort of like when they see a 3G service coming up, 4G service coming up, all of a sudden they're unavailable?
Yeah, they're not unavailable. They always sort of, you know, they always mention it to me. But I guess, you know, it falls on deaf ears. I mean, when stats are, I know exactly where they're coming from and the rest of it. But no, they don't do anything with me. You know, I expect the team.
Is there many teams in your league going that way? Obviously, because sort of up where me and Dave are, a lot of clubs now are going that way. Cause, you know, as you know, financially beneficial. You mentioned you've got your post 16 sort of academy. You know, if you had that actually, you know, on that as well, it brings in a lot of finances, doesn't it?
Yeah, unfortunately, you're dead right. You know, it is about, you know, that's surviving, and it's about sort of pushing forward and 3 years away. You know. I think it just takes a little bit of thrill out of the game, so, you know. But maybe I'm a little bit old fashioned. I don't know.
Phil, how many are you pushing for it though, for the youth system that you've got there?
I think it'd be lovely to have one, but I'm still a big fan of the matches being on grass now in a 3G facility for training sessions. We do have a partnership with a local school when they get one built. So we are one of the main partner clubs, which is a massive help for a club like ours where the youth section can maybe have some games and a lot of training sessions on there. But I'm still a big fan of football and grass. That's where it's always been played. I get the financial aspects and I get the support from being a football club, but I think everyone still loves playing football and grass.
Do all the kids play like in you know, literally on the same ground, or are they spread across an area?
At the moment, they're spread. We have the main pitch here, and then we have a top 11-a-side pitch just outside the ground, which we have what, 3 games on a Sunday. We use other facilities, like other pitches at 9v9. Which is one of the main reasons why we partnered with the school, because we can get access to that on the weekend. So we should start having all majority of the teams just over 2 facilities rather than 4 or 5.
One or two of the teams as well do get the luxury of playing on the main pitch, which is good, when, especially if they're youngsters, because it shows them what they can aspire to later on. So that's always good.
I mean, with that, I mean, I know when I used to be youth chairman at Waltham Abbey, you know, they used to say, right, okay, if you're in the County Cup and you've been drawn at home, you can use the main pitch. Is that sort of thing, or is it big games they can use the pitch for, or is it just you just make sure that everybody gets a go?
No, they can use the cup games, especially for floodlit ones. Obviously, they're up to play on the main pitch. So our 18s get the luxury of playing under floodlights, which that sort of way, you've got 16-year-olds playing in there. They're probably not actually played on a ground that's got floodlights. So that's always a great experience for them. And their parents as well, because that's where the future is. Not only from the playing point of view, you're going to want those parents to come along later on when they're playing in the first team as supporters.
To be fair, we're trying to use the main pitch as much as we can, as much as we can now. So, like I said, both our under-18s teams, that's their main pitch on a Sunday. So we have 2 18s, one in different leagues. One plays in the morning at 10. I'm playing in the afternoon at 2, and they always use the main pitch for games. We also allow some of our training centres on the pitch. Again, it's just another aspect which kids love to do. So every Monday night we have training sessions which are done on the main pitch as well. So we want as many people to use it as possible, within reason, because again, having too many games in it are going to start to affect the pitch. But it's a nice ground. We have good ground staff that look after it, so we want to let as many people as possible use it.
I was going to say, have you got Dave and the head groundsman sort of looking around the corner and hiding around the corner somewhere, having a look just to make sure you ain't ruining their pitch?
The head groundsman, about to take text message, I get going, no, not today. Has it been a little bit of rain? I'm like, come on.
The groundsman loves his pitch, but he just don't want you playing on it at all.
But I mean, you made such a fantastic start. I mean, are you a little bit disappointed with the 2 cup competitions?
Yeah, we've got to be a little bit disappointed, really. I mean, you know, it was disappointing last week. But obviously, there's reasons for it. And, you know, like our top goal scorer was missing. It's not excuses, it's genuine reasons, you know. And when you come up against any favourites in your Premier League or higher opposition, you've got to be at full strength. And we didn't really have that luxury when we played against them. I think, you know, we've got a good reputation down in West Country with Tiverton and a couple of years back.
Yeah.
Great performance down there. And, you know, when we fell away in the league last year, I actually had a supporter, funny enough, from Tiverton phone me up and he's saying, are you sort of like refusing to go up or are you just losing games on purpose? You know, and it's just like, wow, mate, you know, come on. It's a break, you know. But, we tried to entertain as well in our game. It's always about support, isn't it, really? Trying to please them as well, really, you know.
I'd be very interested in sort of one question that we try to bring in. You know, we were very much sort of focused on the Isthmian League originally, and now sort of moving into the Southern League more than, you know, the Isthmian, and sort of now it's got sort of 50-50. I mean, I've sort of gotten involved with the Southern League, but I mean, what's your thoughts? Because I've come from sort of one league to another league, but this, you know, I was at the, if he was there, you'll know that I was there doing, comparing the Summer League Awards this year. And, you know, it was one of those things for me, it just felt like the whole league just feels like a big family. Would you say that, or would you say something completely different?
I partially agree with you. There is certain things which I think, you know, they can improve on, like any organisation, really. But, you know, to be honest with you, I mean, it's a tough job as well for me and as well, isn't it? You know, with everybody. But I think they've got to sit down, and it's important that football people get involved in these organisations and committee levels at high up as well, you know, because really anybody in those grassroots are going to be the managers and ex-players. And I think the more involvement they have on boards, etc., I think the better the game's going to be.
I think one of the problems is, Dave, as well, the fact that, you know, obviously a very leading question which you gave us, but if you look, even at our club, committee-wise, volunteer-wise, most of those people are the wrong age. Mm. So you're looking for the next to come along, which is what Phil's getting trained up. So I'm hoping to hand over to him. But those, Dave said earlier on, volunteers are so key to the success of clubs. But it's, you know, how can you attract a younger element to come and get involved, to be a match day steward, I don't know, a program editor, whatever. It's very, very difficult. And the people that work within the club are just so valuable, and you just can't put a price on what that is, you know, because it's not even part of your playing budget for the season.
Mm. I mean, I know, speaking, you saying that, I mean, I was speaking to Anthony Hughes, and he was talking to me, and he said, look, Dave, said, you look at the board, and he said, I'm the youngest person on the board. And he said, it's so difficult, exactly what you just said. You know, he said, it's very difficult to actually get other people to, you know, to come in and fill positions on the board, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, my sort of thing to that, and I don't know if Keith agrees or not, you know, the one rule for me that always baffles me around leagues is that you've got to be, and I've got to get this right, a director or a secretary of a club to be able to apply to go on to the league committee. And that just seems to me that you might have someone, say, like Phil sitting behind the back of you there, that would be fantastic about going on to the Southern League board or the Isthmian board or the Northern League board. But he can't do it because he's got his hands tied, because he's not got a, sort of like Greg's job or the chairman's job or a director's job. And it just seems a crazy rule.
Yeah, it is, Dave. It goes two ways, isn't it? One is that, look, leagues can't have just hundreds of people, you know, asking to, you know, go on it. The other side of it, and you're right, I think the, you know, some of these boards now hopefully are changing a little bit. I know with Kelly on the Isthmian League, she's obviously a lot younger than some of them. But it's if your cap fits. And it was a little bit of old school days where, you know, chairman or secretary from somewhere else would go in it, but hopefully it's sort of changing a little bit now, and I think Anthony might do that from the Southern League.
And of course we should say happy birthday this week to young Kelly, and we won't reveal her age, because I don't know, but Keith probably does, but we won't reveal her age, but happy birthday to Kelly at the Isthmian League. But it's an interesting thing, you know, it's how do you get those sort of you know, people on there, but hopefully we can, you know, somehow somebody or maybe one club or two or three clubs will come up with an idea of how to get younger people involved in the club, and hopefully other people then will sort of like look at that and sort of grab it and take that into their clubs.
I've got a shoe off. We've got testers going on. I've got to go and make sure they finish correctly, but thank you for
no worries, mate.
I'll leave them there to take people hands.
Oh, right. I mean, you've got sort of like, as you say, you've got Bishops, you know, Bishops Cleeve tomorrow night, long journey, and then you've got Bristol Manor Farm at home at the weekend. I mean, how are you expecting those two to go? Are you expecting to come back, you know, this time next week with 7 out of 7?
Well, you know, that'd be a dream, wouldn't it, really? Yeah. But I mean, you know, I've got some players back now who were missing on Saturday. So we're going up there probably on paper a lot stronger than what we were on Saturday. But so I've had some interesting sort of conversations with a few of the lads from Saturday, and they totally get it in a way. But yeah, I mean, it's always tough when you got to leave it like, I don't know, sort of like 4:15 and probably midnight, 12:30, whatever. But yeah, we're going up there. I mean, every game, it's an old adage, isn't it? I mean, we take every game as it comes, and it's simply got to be based on that, you know? That's the thoughts of most managers. You just got to concentrate on the next game, really. You know, because obviously with football, you never know. Football changes, you know, the things change really quickly in football, don't they? Yeah. You'd be top, you know, now, and 4 weeks' time, you could probably be mid-table, who knows, you know? But what you can do is your best. All I demand is everybody execute the basics, work hard, and see where we go from there.
Sandwich, you need to put that as well, Dave. We've got an under-23 game the following night on Wednesday. So, you know, the players' availability is going to be crucial, you know, because our under-23 won the league last year, and they've only played 3 games so far. Unbeaten in all 3 games, 2 cup games and 1 league game. So, you know, they want to keep in the rich vein of form as well. And Dave gets to see the under-23s when they play at home as well.
If he's back from Bishop's Cleaving time.
Well,
yeah.
But you say, I mean, it sounds to me that the club's in really good health, you know, this season so far. I mean, you said, you know, under-23s unbeaten, and you know, the first team unbeaten in the league as well. You know, it all seems to be going the right way.
Yeah, I mean, I think we won club of the month last year for August.
But I say, you know, we didn't end up going up for a reason, but it's a long season. You know, things can
change overnight, basically. And, you know, it's about just keeping your head down, working on it. It's worrying about what you do, not what the opposition does. And that's one thing you learn in management straight away. If you plan too much for the opposition, you're about to meet. With the bars run, it really taught me loads, you know, back in 2014, you know, about clubs. You know, I didn't go and visit one club, you know, on that run to the final and actually winning it. And it's about what you do on the day that matters, you know. Get your house in order, you know, go out fully confident in your own ability, and then 9 times out of 10, not always, but 9 times out of 10, you'll get the right results.
Mm. And it was a difficult time as well, Dave, because that season was impacted by the amount of games we had to play. The run through to the final was fantastic, but you still had to concentrate on the fact that we had a league to win as well. So everyone could pull their weight. Our reserves were doing very, very well as well. And I'd have to say it's one of the most immense seasons that I've worked here at the club. And I know it caused us no end of headaches in that build-up to getting to the end of that season.
Oh, yeah, people don't realise it was really stressful. I mean, you know, literally we did play like four times a week, one of the weeks, you know, just get the games done. And we've got a plan then for the next round of the bars, and then you get through. Obviously, everybody's expectations, you know, suddenly rise. And we play some good things. But it just goes to show, it is on the day, because there were teams we played who were probably better than that. But we got the right result at the end of the day. And that's, I think that's where the birth of the togetherness was actually formed, you know, by this group of players, you know. It's a strong, hell of a strong bond, you know, there. And that's why it's so enjoyable, and that's why I keep doing it.
Was the final at Wembley?
Yeah.
I went, Dave.
It was the last one before non-league final, Dave. So
it was the last one not to get televised as well.
Yeah.
Well, listen, guys, we follow one club local to us, and we've followed them for years, in all fairness, and they've always had a rough time of it. And they were in step 4, had a rough time of it almost year after year, and they had the great escape like every single year. Well, last year, the great escape didn't happen, and unfortunately, we lost them out of step 4 and into step 5. But, Keith, what is going on at step five, because this club has just all of a sudden Phoenix from the flames. I've never seen anything quite like it. They're absolutely smacking everybody, and it is so lovely to see Dave and Greg, because the club in general that we're talking about is Romford Football Club. They've got a chairman down there called Steve Gardner, who's one of the nicest people you're ever likely to meet in non-league football. He's had some really rough times and all the rest of it. And he's telling me he's now 10 feet tall and all the rest of it. The other week, they went to top of the table, step three, Potters Bar Town, and turned them over at their own ground, 2-1. And they've now got an FA Cup game against Chelmsford City. They've then won their Vars game at the weekend. And I think if I'm right in saying, who did I see they got today? It was another good draw, and it's going to bug me now because I'm going to have a look. But I did have it on the tip of my tongue. But they've got another great, great tie in that as well. And it's just so fantastic to see, Keith, isn't it?
Yeah, Dave, listen, we know Steve. We love him a bit. They've got a decent manager in there, though, that's brought some players with him.
Is he a new manager or?
This year. Yeah, he's coming this year. They've been a bit in turmoil with managers. They've ground shared for years, and all their money goes into the ground share, and they've so really they haven't really got a budget, but they are a smashing club. They've got, as we just said, all their committee are getting on a little bit, apart from Steve. I had to get that in before he's mostly watching. But they're lovely people, and all you want, Romford's a massive town, and all you want them to do is get back into their hometown, but it just doesn't look like it's going to happen for a little while yet. But yeah, they've had some great results. The Potters Bar one, I was watching, Dave, as the minutes ticked past, just I was praying for him. I might have been at Whitstable, and I was sitting there looking at the game going, oh, please, just hang in. It's great for them, and I wouldn't put it past them to go and get a result at Chelmsford.
Well, it's on the 4G at Barking, isn't it? At their own, it's at home, so I mean, it's going to be some game. And I think is it next weekend? Is it next weekend, the FA Cup? I'm
thinking it's this weekend, isn't it?
It's weekend.
Oh, no, is it the first?
Let's have a look.
We're all going.
We'll all quickly get the phones up and have a quick look to see when it is. But it is the side itself just deserve it. All the luck gets this weekend.
It's this weekend.
Yeah, and it's
Newmarket Town.
That's it, Newmarket. That's who it was. Yep. Thank you for that. Yeah, and another local side as well, Enfield Football Club as well. There's two Enfields, an Enfield Football Club and Enfield Town. But Enfield Football Club at step five going great guns as well. They got through in the Vars at the weekend as well, so you know that they're actually flying as well.
Dave, there's some great FA Cup games as well. We need to mention it. Obviously, Sevenoaks going to Bath, which is for Mr. Mid, which, as you know, Bath's have got a good game to go down to and win, as Harlow did.
Yeah, and I think they won't be liking the looks of that game, Bath, at all. And because for me, if you're looking at that, and I was putting money on it, I'd put money on Sevenoaks to win it. And I know that might sound a few things to say, but it seems...
Their league form isn't great, Dave, but their cup form is very good.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, you say that about Bath, though. I mean, I still wake up with nightmares now. I mean, we got drawn against them in the FA Cup. And we only lost 2-0, but I think we touched the ball about six times. But literally, they were so good. The movement, they were excellent, and it was a good lesson for us, basically. I think they we can still remember the goals, actually. But it was 2-0, but we literally got taught a complete football lesson on the night, which put us in good stead.
And a classic old-fashioned ground that they play at, isn't it?
It was. I was actually secretary that night for Harlow when we beat them, and it was. We drew with them. We actually drew with them at our own ground, and we had Ibrahim Asonko, who used to play for Stoke City in the Premier League and Reading, and he was our centre half, and he got a really serious head injury, sort of about 20 minutes into the game, got taken off the pitch. And thinking, oh, Struth, we're in trouble here. And we managed to get a 1-1 draw, and he went down there on the Tuesday night. He had a massive grabby head band on from the massive gash he had in his forehead. And we basically taught them a lesson that night. It was fantastic. It was certain other things, which I'll tell you about off air afterwards, happened before the game. But it was just a fantastic, you know, great result. And it was just fantastic the whole day.
Terry, Dave, looking at some other of these cup games, if we're looking at upsets, Folkestone going to Dulwich Hamlet.
Yeah.
Dulwich, obviously, which is, that's the biggest shock of me in football, Gavin going from Dulwich. I spoke to Gavin last week, obviously, with friends. I was so shocked with that. That's huge. But Cugs, they, you know, Folkestone have got a good chance. And obviously, Hamwell, as you know, having to go to Ebbsfleet, who are flying at the moment. Ebbsfleet going to Hamwell. That could be big. But Herne Bay going to Hendon.
And also as well, Three Bridges, it's just to say they absolutely annihilated Lewis, didn't they? I think that's fair enough to say. And they've got Hereford at home. So,
Do you know with that one, Dave, do you know when you see like, and I think Dave might say this being a manager, when you go away to a high league club in the FA Cup and you get a draw, you sort of sit there and go, oh, have we missed our chance to sort of have a giant killing? Because Lewis are a big side at the moment. And to go at home and iron them out like they did was a major shock to me. A major shock.
Yeah. But we went to Slough Town, and we were 2-0 down and got back to Sewell and then Bourne back to our plate. And we took them to extra time, you know. But we got beat eventually, but they knew they were in a match, you know. It was a great, two great games, basically. But, I love being the underdog, and, you know, it's good to see when, you know, when you get paired up against a sort of like a national league team, for instance, you know, it's good because you can look at them, the way they're running, and the professionalism stands out, you know. They were very, very good, you know.
Yeah.
The other one that stands out for me is Burke Hampstead going to Banbury United as well. That could be like a tasty little tie, in all fairness, as well. That could be a great one. And Herne Bay going to Hendon as well. Hornchurch, of course, who've got drawn against Harlow in the FA Trophy today.
They're flying Hornchurch, aren't they? But you're looking, Dave, Waltham Hersham are going really well, and they've got Taunton, haven't they, at the weekend?
Yeah, that'll be another great game. And of course, I think one of the other results from the weekend that surprised me a little bit was Margate going down 5-2 to Enfield Town as well. That was another one that was.
Why did that surprise you?
I just thought it was going to be a bit more difficult than it was. But it seemed to be, you know, speaking to Andy yesterday, it seemed to be a little bit of a stroll in the second half. But it'll be interesting because I'm going down to see them play tomorrow night. They've got Horsham tomorrow night. So that'll be a great game. And then off down there again on Friday night because they've got Crimpton Casuals on Friday night as well. So
I've got to be honest, I had a massive smile on my face Saturday looking at that result, but that's my own personal reasons. Horsham, what a gate they had at the weekend. That shocked me. 900 and something at Horsham.
Absolutely incredible. So talking about that, then that brings us into our little quiz at the end of the show today. But all we like to do is just try and guess the attendance at certain matches, and we'll stick with matches in the FA Trophy without people going to their phones. Any ideas on the Sunday game between FC Romania against Faversham Town?
I know this because I see it and laughed. Okay. I let the two boys guess this one first.
Because you've laughed about it, I would say
25. Don't forget, you've allowed some freebies, so you've got to add a few of them on.
Do they count them, though?
Yeah.
What do you reckon, Dave?
Surely it's got to be 130 or something like that.
Keith, do you know what the answer is?
I know the answer, Dave, but I will say this. Faversham get around 200 to 300 at home. But the gate was 47.
47? Not too far out there.
And I've not looked at any phone, Dave. I looked at it yesterday, the result, because I wanted to look at the result. And I was like,
47. The next game was Saturday. It had two red cards and one, two, three, four yellow cards. It finished Harlow Town 4, Ashford Town Middlesex 1. What do we reckon was the gate there?
I would say 275. 74.
Man, you don't know Harlow. Harlow got a lovely little ground, to be fair. Still getting them out. I'm going to go 175, Dave.
Well, it was literally right in the middle of both of your guesses, really. 214 to Harlow at the weekend. I'm just going to ping another one up. What about this one? Could be interesting because, again, we probably won't know much about these two sides, but other than a TV show that was on the telly, what about Macclesfield versus Widnes?
That's rugby, isn't it?
Macclesfield.
Well, Macclesfield's big. I'll let the boys go first.
I reckon 1800.
I think Robbie Savage wished it was.
Yeah. 485.
485.
580.
655.
Wow.
And a famous person scored two goals. Nicky Maynard scored twice for them. What about one that was very disappointing? Well, another guy that I do an interview with every Sunday night. Whittam Town 2, Ware 1, and Whittam scored in the 89th minute for the winner. What do we reckon the crowd was there?
Again, I know both clubs. I know their fan base.
112.
130.
I know it, Dave.
You know what it is?
Yeah.
That number, go on, what is it then?
131.
131. That's a bad shot. That's not a bad shot at all.
See, I'm saying right anyway, because obviously, Mark, it's Whittam against, I look for their result as well. And again, my phone's here and it's got us on it, so you can see.
So, one of my favourite clubs, and Keith knows it's one of my favourite clubs, there was a local derby in the FA Trophy at the weekend. It was Wroxham 5, Lowestoft Town 1.
I tell you what a result as well for Wroxham. I don't know if the two lads know, Wroxham have been in Lowestoft's shadow for years. And Lowestoft have got a big following. I remember going up there with Thamesmead years ago, and that's an away journey, gents. I'm telling you, we got home about 5 o'clock in the morning from there.
That is a long journey.
It was a nightmare. Both motorways were knackered. I remember we're sitting on a coach with our feet with the door open, just because it was stuck in traffic, but that's something else. Go on and let the boys know. I'll have a good think of that one.
225.
I'd say 190.
Wroxham home, Dave?
Yeah.
I'm going to go 550.
How many?
550.
I don't know if you get 550 in Wroxham, would you?
Well, no, the fish and chip shop you will do. That was the corner.
271.
All right.
Which is a good crowd.
Yeah, that's the first half. Once the fish and chip shop shut, they all come back in.
I'm gonna throw one at you now. We're gonna go into the Vanarama National League because I don't know if you guys have been watching it, because it's been absolutely fantastic viewing on you. If you've got Disney Plus, the Welcome to Wrexham, and I don't know if any of you guys have been watching any of it at all, but it's been absolutely superb. One of the best sort of football program like that I've seen, to be really honest. And not all about Wrexham, all about the plan, and not all about the two, you know, Deadpool and everybody else running the club. It was about them, how they're supporting the whole town rather than just the club. It's a really good watch. I recommend it if you get the chance. But it finished Wrexham 6, Torquay United 0. So what do we reckon the crowd was? Wrexham versus Torquay.
I reckon 3,300.
2147.
2147. I tell you what, Dave, you should get done for admitting that you've got Disney Plus on a football show. I'm going to go 5,400.
Wow, you could almost add all yours together and you might get close. 9,970. Wow. And that just shows you what an effect that those two guys have probably had on that whole club.
No, I'm not having that. Wrexham's huge, Dave. Don't you remember? Listen, even your time, you can remember going back into their FA Cup history and whatever.
No, I don't remember them beating Arsenal at all.
You must remember that. I remember sitting next to Paul Merson and talking to him about that.
I just try and blank that out of my head. But it is, you know, it's incredible that the crowds in non-league football, you know, I mean, all right, FC Romania, we know, is a newish type club. They're putting stuff together. But are you surprised at how, you know, the crowds are getting bigger? Or in your opinion, do you think they're getting bigger?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, the pandemic, you know, a lot of people missed, you know, watching football, didn't they, really? But I think the facilities have improved as well throughout the leagues, you know, which is one good thing with the ground grading, et cetera. So where it was very difficult to, you know, to get a decent pint, a pint or whatever, now it's, you know, it's quite easy to do that. So, you know, I just think there's a lot to do with it.
I think non-league football as well offers a real good opportunity nowadays, because if you look at, say, what wages the Premiership players get and what it costs for you to go in as a family to go and watch one of the Premier League teams, it's absolutely extortionate. Whereas you could get a whole family plus more into a non-league game, and you get that. I think you get that intimacy at non-league games now, because a lot of the Premier League clubs, you're way away from the ground, and you're treated as a commodity at Premier League games. Whereas you get non-league football, people get to know one another, and you get that intimacy. And players tend to mix more. I was talking to someone today who said that at Southampton Football Club now, players will not sign autographs, or stewards stop players signing autographs for the fans. And really, as a football club, you need to engage with the people that are involved with you, because otherwise you haven't got an identity.
I'll tell you what, Dave, I'm gonna look this in the next few weeks to see if the gates have gone up, because like I said, I've watched a few games this year. It seemed to have dropped a little bit. As I said, I was at VCD. I know they don't get massive gates, but I've looked across the league. But when I went up to Whitstable the other week, they was obviously having one of their first, I think it was their first Saturday game with the new 3G, and I was standing next to Gary and Mandy up there. They do a thing with their crowd where with their fans, they do it online, but you can do it in the ground where you pay and you guess the crowd and guess the result, and the one that gets it wins the money. And to be fair, they get 300 odd, 400, 500. So per week, if they don't get it, it rolls over, and it's quite a big pot. But says it goes somewhere and one cow. But you know, but their gates, their gates. It was 370, which is a great gate, I think. So don't get me wrong, but I think they were hoping for, you know, 500-600 for that game there. But yeah, it's a little nice little fundraiser that they're doing there. You know, I won't tell you what result I went for, but I didn't win it anyway, so it didn't matter.
But the funny thing is, you talk about the golden goal thing, and it's just a funny thing. I went to one of the Enfield games recently, and they announced the golden goal, and the pot was £12. And the guy about two people standing next to me on the left, he went, "Sod the law," he said, "I won it today." He said, "It's 12 quid. Normally it's about a couple of hundred quid." Like, he said, "It's 12
quid. It'd be great if the game was nil-nil and all."
Well, just to finish with, I think there's an international friendly going on tonight that you guys, I don't think any of us would want to go to at all. It's one that you probably didn't even know happened today. It's finished 0-1, the away side one, but I don't think any of us would want to go and see it. It was Syria versus Iraq.
Oh, dear. So what, I bet the goals weren't bombarded there, were they? The game got abandoned. The crowds were throwing missiles. Right, on that, we better go before we get cut off.
But listen, I suppose if you know, it's been a fantastic night, and just to let everybody know, October 2 weeks time, joining us on the show will be Dave Faulkner, the chairman of Redditch United. He will come on and join us in a couple of weeks' time. But a massive thank you to everybody at Shaolin today, to Greg and to Phil, of course, who was there. And we do wish you all the very, very best for the rest of the season. We hope you carry on winning all these games and get the promotion you want, so you can, you know, get your nice trip down to Plymouth and Truro.
It's
a
good job to play at the same ground, isn't it?
But we wish you all the best against Bishop Cleeve tomorrow night, and hopefully you get back nice and early. But thank you, and of course to Keith, thank you again, mate, for joining us tonight, and everybody else that watches, a massive thank you. And all of us, well, me and Keith, we'll be back next week, and from both of us, good night.
Thank you very much. Thanks very much for having me. Cheers.